Here we go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We are the Knights!
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello out there, and welcome to the Knights of Nerditude, a podcast for all things nerd. I am your only host here in the podcast room for the night, Sean. But on Skype, I've got...
John.
And the bells, Chris.
Ah, yes. So at least there's three of us. So I'm not
hey,
crazy.
Chris, where's Sam tonight?
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
All right. Want me to queue you up later?
Yeah, I'll try and come up with a good one.
Okay.
Because he kills me off every time.
Exactly.
Well, hey, folks, it's just something you gotta hang around to listen to.
Oh. Yeah. All right. Well, tonight on the episode, we've got some news, some Hulu news, some Star Wars news. We got some Game of Thrones talk, Chernobyl episode 2 talk, and a segment at the end. What are we watching? So stick around for that. But first, I want to jump right into Chernobyl. It's the second episode. We talked about it last week. It's kind of slow-moving drama, I would say, on HBO. Mondays at 8, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Mondays, 8 o'clock. Slow move. It's a drama about the Chernobyl disaster in the 80s over there in Soviet Russia.
86.
Yeah. Well, that would be the 80s, Chris.
To be more precise.
All right.
Sorry, I'm irradiated by Chernobyl radiation.
So
John,
am I.
John is not.
I am
you
too.
Are.
Actually,
and
technically, John and Sam technically are too, because it doesn't go away.
Yeah, it's in the
away.
Shit we eat.
Well, yeah. Okay. Good point.
Yeah, we're all affected.
Touche.
Which we get a more of a sense of that in this episode because it's we get a better idea of what's going on at the power plant, but at the same time, we also get an understanding of how badly it's spreading. The radiation.
Yeah. The first episode has a cause feel, and the second episode is more of an effect.
Yeah,
we're approaching effects. So now you're starting to see the reaction, not the reactions, but the effects that this whole thing has in the rest of Russia. And well, it's not Russia; it's the USSR at that point. But
yeah,
or is it?
Yes, it is still the USSR.
Well, it's the Ukraine. Yeah,
and then obviously we start to get Europe involved and things like that. Even the US, gets a little nod in there.
Yeah, we get a little mention. Go USA.
I don't want to regurgitate the episode, but I have never thought I would ever be afraid of a Geiger counter.
Yes. Okay.
Ever. That noise made me so paranoid and petrified.
Are you talking about the end of the episode?
Yes, I am.
Oh my God.
Want to save that?
No, I would.
It was throughout the whole episode.
There's some throughout the entire episode, but I really want to say all of it, it was just drama. It was just a lot of talking. Hey, this is worse than it really is. Oh, is it? Yes. Oh, okay. That's kind of the whole episode. But, I feel the climax of the episode was when they sent three guys to their deaths, these guys knowing they're going to die doing this, into the depths of the factory in the radiated water with, scuba suits-ish and, a couple lanterns. And a Geiger counter, and it's the music is kind of subtle, but that Geiger counter gets louder and louder and louder and louder the deeper get, to the point where when the lights just cut out and you hear them panicking and the Geiger counter is just overbearingly
loud.
It was
effective.
Oh my God. I loved that. That the rest of the episode, I was like, yeah. That part was phenomenal. I loved it.
It was probably one of the more anxiety-ridden episodes that I've seen, particularly in that scene.
Yes.
Because I didn't expect it from the show, but no. it definitely delivered.
Oh, yeah.
Funny note, a lot of this stuff is actually true. Didn't know that the majority of it was. I thought they would insert certain, try and take certain liberties with what was actually going on.
So, I kind of figured most of this was true, but, you just don't know how much information has gotten out because of the time, or I should say the country.
The country in charge.
Yeah, they don't release that.
Did you see the director thing afterwards?
No.
Okay, so that lady who showed up from the... I don't know what the institute was.
Or whatever. Yeah.
The nuclear physicist.
And mixed. It's an actual composite. Yeah, you're right. It's a composite of all the scientists. Because I guess at that point there were a bunch of scientists researching this, and she just is the culmination of that just in one person.
Oh, okay. So that would be one of those liberty kind of things.
Yeah. With storytelling,
Yeah.
It helped a lot, I think.
Yeah.
It also gave you scope of how fucked the country and the world really were from this.
Yeah. So, yeah. And
I hate to laugh at this situation, but still,
it was 30 years ago.
There is 33. There is parts of this movie where it is almost a step or two away from what could be a satire,
Yeah.
Did either of you guys see Death of Stalin?
No, we only saw the beginning.
First, half hour, okay. Yeah.
I know Sam has.
A lot of this is a lot of that movie is a lot of the government kind of interactions you have. Like the guy who's before this I was worked at a shoe factory. Oh, yeah. So don't complain.
Now I'm in charge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I love the guy who's the mayor of Pripyat or whatever with the funny voice and the weird hair.
Oh, yeah.
Just like the first thing he's like, yeah, you're the people responsible.
I don't think was he the mayor? I don't think he was the mayor. I think he was the leader of the plant.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think that's what it is. I thought he was the mayor in the first episode, but then he said something about that he was a technician or something. But
yeah, I think he's the leader. The guy with the glasses and balding is his second in command.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's how it falls. I don't think we actually saw a mayor.
Mm. But we did get Skarsgård with a deep raspy voice, which is odd. I don't know.
I don't really care.
I think that's how he usually sounds.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah,
Maybe I haven't seen him recently enough, but he just sounded a little off. Like he was trying to make his voice more raspy.
Well, he also just realized that he was going to die in 5 years, too. So.
No, I'm talking about the whole episode in general. And I know. That was a very powerful part of the episode when he found out that he was... Because he finds out he was going to die in 5 years, and then he gets that phone call where he's like, yeah, everyone knows. It's oh, all right, well, we're fucked.
Wait, everyone knows. Wait, he was going to die in 5 years from the radiation?
No, and then everybody knows about the power plant, the U.S. has sent a satellite and mapped out pictures, so they know, and
Yeah, it's also I love the line, but it just really gives again the word scope comes into play. It's just on the phone he's like the kids they're not even letting the kids in Switzerland or Norway, I think it was a Norwegian country or a Scandinavian country, but they're not letting the kids play outside looking outside.
And there's a bunch of kids
and
playing.
Just kids walking to school and they're 3 kilometers away from the power plant.
Right.
Yeah. It's just I hate to laugh on it, but it's just such a comical thing that these people are just.
It's like an unintentional comedy.
It's more like a cynical.
Well, it's not trying to be funny, is the thing.
Yeah.
Like it's just like you said, it's showing the scope and how Soviet Union their process, they were just miles behind everyone else.
Not the process. It's just they don't want to accept that something went wrong,
right? Because they even mentioned that, right. when they're trying to recruit the guys. It's like, what makes us great is that we basically refuse to get knocked down, and we refuse to give up. And that's...
Oh, yeah. His, like, speech at the end was, like... I thought it was kind of cool because it's, like, he's been, like, pretty useless the entire episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just been, you know, chilling with, like, Richard Harris being... Or whatever the fuck his name, Jared Harris, and just being like, hey, so what should we do here, Professor? Mm-hmm. And not really, like, you know, doing anything, like, proactive. I mean, like, he's trying to help. He's just, like, out of his element. Out of his element.
Yeah. No, yeah. And but even then, like, even on the plane.
When he's called upon to be, like, you know, this, like, big inspirational speech, like, it's, like, a fucking awesome speech.
Yeah. But, like, even on the helicopter.
Typical USSR.
Yeah. Even on the helicopter, like, he's like, tell me how a nuclear power plant works, or I will throw you off this helicopter. And he kind of has to, like, sit there and explain it. Which, like, I mean, it shows you that, like, maybe he's not the jerk that he comes off in the beginning. Maybe he's a little more understanding. Like, he wants to know. Especially when he stands up for Jared Harris.
You see the mortality hitting him.
Right.
Throughout the whole, you know, it's... He realizes that this is... And I think that's why his voice is the way it is. And I think that's why he's, you know, sitting down in the entire second half of the episode. He's coming to grips with what's going on, what's really going on. Yes. And back on the helicopter and how explaining, you know, how a nuclear reactor works. I love that they do that with, as I mentioned it, last week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I love how they're actually explaining kind of the basics of what's going on, because I don't know this. I don't know this. And it's great. And I don't want to sit around and Google and try and figure out how a freaking fission reactor is working. Yeah. So.
It's kind of nice. Like, Skarsgård is kind of like us in that situation where it's like, dumb this down so I can figure this out. Like,
at least with that portion. But then they're also explaining, you know, the water tanks at the end, how you have to release the water, because, you know, if it's filled with water, it's going to cause a massive, what did they say? Like a 48 kiloton.
Yeah, a massive explosion. It's crazy.
I really hate laughing at this. It's just
it's a shitty situation that happened, and it's 33 years later. I mean, you have to laugh at it. If you don't, like, you're cold hearted.
Does anybody know current radiation levels for Chernobyl?
I checked because I was curious about the where it was located, so I Google mapped it, and then I was like,
and then you notice one thing
that but then I noticed I guess there is people living and farming in there, like, to this day, and I know, like, was it Jeremy Wade, the angler on Animal Planet, he actually ventured into Chernobyl with aid of people, and he got to stage two, which is really close. Like, if you spend like 5 hours there, you're gonna start developing radiation poisoning. So he was able to get to that point because he was trying to see if there were any, like, mutated monster fish in the waters, because there's plenty of stories of people being like, oh, there's these mutant things living in the waters out there. And, like, the purpose of his show is to prove people wrong, basically, and find a logical solution to these myths and whatnot. Which, River Monsters, if you've never watched it, a phenomenal show. I love it. never knew I would like a show about fishing, but... He does an amazing job. But yeah, so people still live there, which is insane to think about.
I'm sorry, I'm just looking at Google Map right now.
Right. Yeah.
Well, they put we won't give it away, but, you know, they have done stuff to, you know, kind of control the containment. And I thought another good scene was that helicopter scene.
Yes.
Both when they're going over at the very beginning. And then when they're trying to, like, drop all the sand and boron in, and it's just, like, the sense of, well, I mean, we just kind of have to do it.
Yeah.
Like, we're all really fucked if we don't, so someone's got to just do it, you know?
The helicopter crashes, and Skarsgård's just looking around like, okay, send the next one in.
Yeah, I guess apparently, though, like, the first one just crashed and there wasn't any, like, you know, I don't know if the damage, like, to people years later, but, like, it's not like everybody, like, crashed in the helicopter because they got, like, zapped by radiation poisoning.
Right. Well, he said for the next group, come from the west, so away from where the wind was blowing, I guess.
I guess that would make sense.
Yeah, so.
Sorry, I'm trying to find the power plant. I can't find it.
You got to Google map search Chernobyl power plant.
Yeah.
Right.
Because there is a Chernobyl to Ukraine, but it's like south of it.
Yeah. And there's like a bunch of like locations around there. I was like, how are people like, how are these things here? Like, it means people are living there. And that's when I looked into like, see if anybody was alive in the area. And yes, the answer is yes.
Oh, there's the silver cover. Okay. Yeah. There it is.
Still going strong. I'm still sticking with this show. I know I was on the fence last episode, but I think this episode was a nice change of pace, though it was still kind of slow, but I feel like I was definitely on the edge of my seat, and especially after the way it ended. Like,
you're never going to get a fast pace.
No, God, no.
Yeah, this is a slow burn.
Oh, yeah. Luckily,
this is a drama in and of itself.
I feel like this is a better slow burn than The Terror. Which sure. Also had Harris in it.
Good comparison.
Well, you know. Anyways, but yeah, like I'm definitely gonna say I think this is what, six episodes, so it's you know, we got
yeah,
four
it
more
might
weeks.
Even be five.
Yeah, so it's a five. Very very short series, which is nice. It doesn't have to be long, which is really nice.
It also just kind of struck me like just how really good this series is, and it's like. This is like a Monday HBO show.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, it has no right being this good. And it's, like, better than, like, almost everything I've ever seen on Netflix. And it's just this, like, throwaway five-episode miniseries. Yeah.
One thing that I was very, like, I took about it is, I mean, if you cut a lot of the fat, this would not be a bad movie, like, to do this. I feel like, I mean, it would be, like, a 2.5 hour long movie. But, like, I feel like it would be a pretty good movie, and, like, Academy might take notice.
I don't think you would get the scope that you're getting right now.
No, you definitely wouldn't get the scope.
With a movie. But yeah. I think that's the point of Chernobyl, though. Yeah. I think that's – everybody in the world was affected by this. And yeah, I think you get that more with the past two episodes than
– at least the previous episode you did. First episode, not so much.
Yeah, and I think that's it's just going to compound on top of this. So next week, the preview, I think they said, you know, what do you need? It's like 750,000 people to do something. and I'm like, what the hell is going on here? So I think it's just, I don't know, I think it's just going to be it's going to be even bigger than what you think.
Yeah. Well, that's
also. Yep. Can I one other thing on Chernobyl?
Go ahead.
I don't think we mentioned it. The evacuation scene.
Oh,
was also really good.
Yeah.
Like the dog chasing after the bus. Like I was like ready to fucking cry.
Yeah. They showed really cool. So like you ever see pictures of Chernobyl? Anybody who like has been able to go in there? It's literally a town stuck in time, because everybody literally got up and left in the middle of their daily activities. So, like, there are plates with, like, the remains of moldy food on them, glasses on the table, like, everything is just still set up like people were there and they just vanished. So. But, yeah. So
they had to get out in a hurry.
Yeah, no, obviously. Like,
that's just honestly kind of amazing. Like, granted, they only had, like, you know, what, like, 30 buildings, but, like, they just, like, evacuated an entire town in, like, seemingly, like, a couple hours.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Like, people didn't stop to grab their stuff out of their house. Animals were left behind, which it was a huge problem in Chernobyl now is the feral dog population.
Feral radioactive dogs.
Yes.
Yeah, those are what all those horror movies are made after.
Well, I mean, there's the Chernobyl diaries that Ryan mentioned last week, which...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Isn't a horrible sci-fi movie. I was actually pleasantly surprised with that movie.
Yeah, they're better.
Obviously, there's better, but I was pleasantly surprised with it. Anyways, moving on.
These episodes are rated real well, by the way. 9.4 for first one. Oh, yeah, one, no, and
fans,
nine,
fans are liking it, which is awesome. I mean, it's not like we're going to get a second season, but... Right. Maybe, I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen? But as a miniseries,
maybe a nomination for miniseries.
Hey, yeah, I hope. So moving on, John, we have some Star Wars news.
We do.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you wanted me to say it.
Yeah, yes.
The big news this week is that. So last week we were talking about how they were announcing. Taking 3 years off after episode 9 and then releasing one like every other year for the next 3 years or yes. 6 years
yeah,
after
every
that.
2 years, yeah.
So a lot of stuff in the Star Wars pipeline that had been announced at one point in time, but little definitive now that the trilogy or at least one movie, I guess.
At least one.
Yeah, I thought they said trilogy, but then somebody was like, well, maybe it'll just be one movie or yeah. whatever, but... anyway, I keep burying the lead here. Essentially the Game of Thrones guy.
Yeah.
D.B. Weiss and David Benioff. Will be written and directed by them. And frankly, I don't know. I'm not, like, dissuaded with, like, what's happened, like, on the last, you know, season and a half or whatever on Game of Thrones. Anything at all about a Star Wars movie. Because, I think they've done good work in the past, so.
Yeah.
Couple rules that Kathleen Kennedy or whoever's taking her place needs to know is that these two need to spend the next 3 years writing all three movies.
Or one. It's not sure if it's one or three.
Nope. It doesn't matter.
It could be a standalone.
Yeah, but they need to write material for three movies.
Okay.
So there's no way that this is going to be a standalone movie. The fans of Star Wars are just going to spend their money and go do it anyway. It's just, you need to write all three movies, get a story, and have these guys direct it.
So
that's it. That's all they need to do. Nobody else needs to touch this. Don't take them off. Just leave them on. Because clearly, when you take somebody off, something goes wrong, and then they screw up Solo. Some say they screwed up Rogue One, but then you run into this current Star Wars trilogy. It's just let them go and leave it.
So
these guys clearly know how to tell a story. Just
do they
touch.
Though?
Well, all right, we'll get to Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
later.
We'll get to that to later. But that is, like John brought up, is kind of a concern. Like, there's a lot of people who are upset that since the source material, they've gone off on their own. They've done a piss poor job, according to those people, about trying to tell the story. So there's a lot
of
people.
Game of Thrones?
Yes. There's a lot of people who are concerned.
We can talk about how there's no actual source material, but go ahead.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. But with, you know, with them pretty much making this stuff up as, not up as they go, but like they had to figure out the last two seasons on their own without Martin's help. But blah, blah, blah. What people are concerned with is with this being Star Wars, it could be, you know, a random movie that doesn't have any source material, and that concerns some people. Especially since, was it D.B. Weiss? Or one of them wrote, like,
Wolverine.
X-Men Wolverine. Like, Wolverine Origins.
The other one wrote a comic book about zombies, I think.
Yeah.
So,
like, their track record of writing isn't the best, but it seems like when they were writing with the source material, they did a phenomenal job. So one of the ideas floating around for this Star Wars movie is a character just got brought back into the canon, which is Revan, which anybody who knows has played the games, Darth Revan, KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic. So there's some theories going around that these guys are going to be doing the Knights of the Old Republic as a movie, which honestly, like, if that's the case... Yes, please. Like, I'm okay with these guys taking it over because they were able to take source material and make it phenomenal, and got a huge following, if they can do that with KOTOR, oh my God, it's going to be awesome.
Okay. Do you think it makes more or less sense to have the movie be before episode 4 or after episode 4?
To have like these movies coming out?
Yeah.
I feel like it would make, I don't know, it would make sense either way, because I mean, they're trying to move away from the Skywalkers.
Right. And
so it all depends on how episode 9 ends. Because like if episode 9 ends and there's like the bad guys are defeated and everybody's happy and everything is good, to have it afterwards, it's like, where is, you know, where's the problem? Where's the conflict? Whereas if you do it before, here's a history even before Palpatine. And it's like odd that they would release like, oh yeah, Revan is canon. By the way, these guys are doing a movie.
How did they make Revan canon, by the way?
I don't know. I've just read through the pipelines that Disney has recently made KOTOR canon.
You know what these guys have going for them, though, is that they've done, what, 7 seasons of Thrones? But they've done it in a way where they seem pretty good at callbacks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And how certain things from episode 1, or season 1, episode 1 will, you know, cause a chain reaction that you won't see actually happen until season 7, episode 2.
Right.
So they have that idea of, all right, well, if we do something in the first movie, clearly this may or may not, oh, let's have it come back up in the third. Or, you know, let's build on it throughout 2 and then maybe bring it back now, in 3.
Counter argument to that would be Martin told them. That's just a counter argument.
But
so it wouldn't be
the idea that they're looking out for that.
But what I'm saying is, what if they're not looking out for it? Martin is looking out for it, because, like, you know, Martin told them how it was going to end, and they can stray from that. But there may have been like some plot points where he was like, these things need to happen because, and so they have to hit those points. It's just a counter argument. I'm not saying that's true.
No, I know. But the fact that they actually did it means that they know about it. And if they're writing all 3 movies at the same time, if it's a trilogy again, right. But then they'll know, all right, well, this is how it plays out. Let's see if we can, you know, build on it through 1 a little bit more, or maybe do a few more things. Oh, remember what we did with Arya and all, yada, yada, yada. So yeah. The fact that they did it already means that they have the ability to go back and adjust the story a little bit to make it pay off later in the end even more than how it should, you know?
Well, like John and I said, as of right now, though, they're believed to only be attached to 1 movie, not all 3.
Then it's stupid.
They totally originally said all 3, though, which is weird.
Yeah, now it's like down to maybe just 1, which is making me think it's a standalone.
Yeah, but this is stupid. If they want to do a trilogy,
I know it's stupid. Like, but I don't know if
Kennedy is still in charge.
Yeah, no, she. We. I think we're all in agreement that she's just atrocious at what she does. So,
it should just give it to Feige.
I know, right?
Feige's the turnaround guy.
Yeah,
I don't even want to take him off.
No, yeah, leave him.
What's coming up? Because at some point you'll need to throw in all the X-Men and stuff and. You know what? Just let him have fun with it.
Yeah, let him figure that clusterfuck out.
At this point, who knows what's going to happen with New Mutants and
oh god!
Well, yeah. Dark Phoenix comes out in a couple weeks. So. Yeah.
Interesting little fact here. So I was bowling at Cinema World yesterday, and they have a New Mutants poster up in the bowling alley. Don't know when the movie's going to come out, but there's a poster
date,
for it.
Is there a release date on it?
I don't know. It was like in the other room, and I was like, hey, mutants. So, yeah. They're holding on to hope for that movie to come out, I guess.
Whatever. I think it's going to go to the Plus, Disney Plus.
I think so. I really think so. They're just going to cut their losses.
Speaking of where it could go.
Aha! Good segue.
The other kind of quick news this week, although I guess it was actually pretty big, is that Comcast is effectively turning over all of the control of Hulu to Disney, and is pretty much going to be out of there within 5 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Disney's going to buy them out and then just totally own Hulu, which pretty much sets up for them to be Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and Hulu, plus God knows whatever else to come.
Right.
I can see it going two ways. Either they're going to keep the Hulu separate, so it's going to be non-Disney IP, or they're going to use the platform and the hardware and the software itself for Hulu to launch Disney Plus. So use all the servers and the databases and just build on that. Because Hulu is already the streaming platform. It's already international. So Disney Plus doesn't need to create something from new. They can just use the Hulu.
Right.
So I can see
that. I don't know. They've got, yeah, but they've got people, like really good people to make it already.
So. No. I agree. It's just if I'm looking at it from a cost perspective as a business owner, the stuff is already there. You just need to change the name and add content, remove content, add a bunch of.
Right, but the thing is,
databases and
Disney
stuff,
Plus so. Is already like about to launch, so I don't think they would use this for Disney Plus when Disney Plus is just about done.
Right? You know what? It wouldn't be the first time a company took over somebody else and said, "You know what? We're going to make this live in 6 months."
I trust Disney wouldn't do that though. Like Disney had their shit together before they did this. But it's a $5.8 billion buyout too. But one of the concerns
over 5 years.
Yeah, over the next 5 years.
But like, so what's gonna happen though when Comcast is out? And Comcast, by the way, also came out this week and iterated again that they're going to be doing their own streaming thing.
Of course.
And they're saying there's going to be a lot of stuff on it, which I don't even know how to take that. Comcast is doing their own thing. CBS has its own thing. Fox isn't going to be a real network anymore.
Right.
And
well,
so,
Fox,
it's like,
so it would be Fox and ABC would be on Hulu.
Right. Well,
no, they would. Since they'd probably be on the Plus.
No, if they have Hulu and they have Disney Plus, they would make I feel like Disney would be more family friendly, and then if they had to, Hulu would be more of the mature-ish shows and stuff like on Fox.
They already
and
said
Fox is going to be so they don't actually own Fox, right? So Fox Network is just going to be a lot of like live events and like sports and reality shows. They're not going to do like a lot of big like scripted television.
All right.
Yeah, but The Simpsons is going to be, is they already said it's going to be on Disney Plus.
Right. Well, the backlog.
I mean, some would say that's not family friendly.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't allowed to watch it when I was a kid.
Yeah, but times have changed.
Yeah.
Agreed. I'm not going to deny that.
When The Simpsons first came out, my dad was like, "No, you guys cannot watch this." And then he sat down and he watched it and he was like, "Oh, this is pretty good. Okay, everybody can watch it now." So like, I mean, it's not like, going with another show on Fox like Family Guy. Like Family Guy, I would say definitely at times is not family friendly.
No, I'm not saying that every show is either.
No, but Simpsons is a lot more family friendly than like other shows on Fox.
Yeah, we can discuss what's coming and what's not coming right. to Disney Plus, but I think I don't know. I got a bad feeling, man. I think Hulu's going away.
Hulu might be. Well, the other thing that came out about this is the possibility of more ads to make money, which sucks.
Didn't they recently though just say they were cutting ads?
Yeah, they dropped the price after Netflix announced that they were raising their prices. Yeah. But now like the article I was reading about the buyout, it was like, what's going on with ads? And they said most likely we're going to be bringing in more ads just to pay for everything. And at that point I'm just like, God damn it. Like, which this hurts anybody who's cut the cable already or cut the cord or whatever.
Well, you can buy the ad free one,
Yeah. No, you can buy but like with Comcast leaving in 5 years and them doing their own streaming service, NBC doing their own streaming service, You got Hulu. You've got ESPN Plus.
It's got no Netflix. Legs to walk on.
No, it's at this point, it's like, just go back to cable. It's going to be cheaper. But at the same time,
it shockingly is.
Yeah. At the same time, though, because of all these things coming out, you're probably going to see a drop in price for cable, which is going to be nice.
It depends. Sure. Yeah. I think the next thing we have going for us is networks actually stop selling their rights to like cable companies. So I think, you know, something like Fox channels aren't going to exist on cable anymore. You have to stream it only through the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the next step.
That might be, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, it makes sense because if you have online subscribers are, you know, 200 million and you have, you know, people who go through cable boxes is 50 million, you know, what's the deal? I mean,
yeah.
You're spending all this money, but
yeah,
you know, do you know what I'm saying?
No, I do. Yeah, no, I do. It's just a shitty situation for anybody, realistically. Yeah, it's tough to figure out, like, because I mean, you know, I know people who have cut the cord, and just like stuff like this just hurts them in the long run. Because, you know, at one point it was cheaper to have like Hulu and Netflix than to have cable, and with NBC doing their thing and CBS doing their thing, it's kind of shitty. It really is. But oh well.
I mean, we'll see if any of that shit's actually like worth buying, you know?
Right.
Like, we keep being like, "Oh man, CBS All Access. What a shame." And yet, like, I just like never had any drive to go buy it for like Star Trek or Twilight Zone,
which is surprising with Twilight Zone. Actually, I haven't checked Twilight Zone in a while, what their ratings are.
I think some of them, there's been like actually good ones, but it's still very hit or miss.
Yeah. Actually, Netflix has Twilight Zone right now.
Oh yeah, they have the whole thing. As of right now, the highest rated episode on IMDb for Twilight Zone was the second episode of Nightmare at 30,000 Feet, which is a 7.0. The most recent one that came out, Not All Men, is at a 4.5.
What's the highest rated one?
7.0.
That's actually higher than the past two Game of Thrones episodes.
That is true.
Yeah, those ratings. I don't know if it was Game of Thrones, but I saw some ratings recently on IMDb for shows that were like really fucking dumb. I don't know how much I trust those anymore.
I still take them with a grain of salt. I don't say like this is fact. I still like to listen to people's opinions. Yeah, you know, people I know rather than internet trolls, or even, you know, critics. Let's hear what the critics have to say. Even
it's much better as like a comparative statistic. You
yes,
know?
Yes.
Like, what's the highest rated episode of the season?
Right.
But not like putting anything into like it being rated a 9, whatever. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right, boys.
All right, so.
Episode the bells.
Yes, the bells. A lot of ringing.
Did anything happen before she lit up the town full of, with the dragon? Like, I forget if anything actually meaningful happened. Oh, no. Well, yeah.
Yeah. There's some.
They burned some... since season one character Varys. They killed him.
Oh, yeah. Because, was it two seasons ago or one season ago? Danny was like, if you ever turn on me, I will burn you alive. So she burnt him alive after he turned
no,
on her?
No, she whatever. Said, if you ever speak ill of what you feel, then we'll, you know, you'll die.
But did he?
No. She betrayed. She's gone him. Off the deep end. She yeah, went off the deep end.
Yeah.
And listen, it wasn't technically part of the episode, but I really liked at the end of the previously on when they're just playing all those quotes about, like, going crazy and like being a Targaryen and going crazy and shit like that. Like,
oh yeah, it was all throwbacks. It was Master Aemon and Viserion. Yeah.
There was Jorah, I think, was in it. Like,
oh, yeah. You that knew was, exactly what was happening.
Oh, yeah. It was like, oh, shit, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And honestly, I loved that it happened.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was so awesome. The show, like, I don't even want to get into, like, has the show been good or bad, but, like, it just needed that moment. Because, mm-hmm. like, okay. we hadn't gotten a screwball in so long, and this is the mother of all screwballs.
Yeah. Do you know what she said to Tyrion? How it's, you know, if you fail me again, it will be your last.
Right.
And it just made me immediately think of Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I think Revenge of the Sith, how he says, only the Sith deal in absolute. I'm sorry. That's just the first thing that came to mind. I was watching Attack of the Clones. Or I was
that's not even that's not even the Obi-Wan quote that most summed up part of this episode. Mine was, I have the high ground from the Clegane Bowl.
Okay, Clegane Bowl. It was all worth it.
So the Clegane Bowl, or however the fuck you say it, like. What is, like, because everybody's talking about it, and I'm like, yeah, it's a thing, and it's the Hound versus the Mountain, but, like, mm-hmm. why?
They're brothers, they're both very large and physically, impending.
Right.
Like, they almost fought each other at one point, like, in the first season. Well, I mean, first off, you know, the Hound has, like, a fucked up face because his brother, the Mountain, like, Gregor,
yeah.
Like, held his head to, like, a fire when he was young. That's why he doesn't like fire.
Okay.
So, you know, they've got a pretty natural rivalry thing going on.
Yeah, but it's just a progression throughout the first season. If you haven't seen it, then you won't fully appreciate, you know, what was going on.
But, like, well, like, it's this meeting has a name, and I'm just curious, like, where the name comes from.
It's their last name.
Oh, that's
their
okay.
last name.
All right.
Clegane Bowl.
Are they brothers? Did you know they were brothers?
Well, you said they were brothers. I didn't know they were brothers beforehand.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a big part of it.
It's a very large part of it. It literally, if you're just watching pieces like you would do, Sean, it's a payoff from season one.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Pretty much everything now is a payoff from season one.
I feel like even people who have been upset with this season so far liked that part. Like, that was, like, the highlight of this episode for them.
Well, yeah, because it should have been. It was mm-hmm. all it should have been. You know, there's certain things that are completely against what should have been, which we'll get into later. But this thing is, it lived up to what it should be.
Right.
And, you know, the way it ended, too, was, I mean, I'm very satisfied with it.
Yeah.
I'm very satisfied with it.
Yeah.
Is that a sandwich you'd buy again? Or is that satisfied?
Yeah, with croutons.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Actually, it's not a sandwich. It's a bowl.
It's a bowl. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I definitely buy the bowl again. Like a poke bowl? Have you had the poke stuff? Like the Hawaiian fish?
I haven't fucked with the poke.
There's a new place over by us.
The place that looks like it sells Pokemon, but it's not.
Yeah, it looks like a poke stuff.
I'm like,
it's actually
wait
not
a
that
minute.
Bad, Sean. It's expensive as hell, though. Yeah. But it's actually not that bad.
All right. Well, we'll see.
But no, the Clegane Bowl is definitely. And you know what? I love this fact, too, with the Hound. He's been pretty much the father of Sansa and Arya after Ned lost his head. It's weird how you piece all the moments that they've had together, whether it was Sansa, you know, almost getting raped by a bunch of people in King's Landing, and then the Hound saving her, and then, you know, taking Arya to meet with her brother when she was fleeing and everything, and then him saying to Arya, you know, if you come with me, you're going to die. Basically, I care too much about you. Go away. You know, and he cared for them pretty much as he could, but still, it was kind of nice when you think about it, when you reflect on it, because when he was saying that to Arya, you're like, oh, man. You know, and it was great that he had that moment with Sansa. I think it was was the last episode? I think it was last episode where he had that moment with Sansa where he's like, you couldn't even look at me. And then she's looking at him and she goes, wait, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be who I am today, you know?
Yeah.
I think it was good moments.
Yeah, and he had some nice, you know, telling like Arya to like get out of there and like doesn't want to be that kind of person. Like, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, and at that point, I think you see a change with Arya. I think you actually see her becoming more
human
and less assassin.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the whole rest of the episode is her
just going through hell.
I mean, yeah, going through hell. And this is, I love this director. Helping
people out and then, like, getting freaked out, like, when those people die, you know?
Yeah, I love this director because he has the ability to give you what you should be feeling at that moment, a nice touch, like a finer point. So with what was it, Battle of the Bastards, it literally made you feel claustrophobic. And with, even though some people don't, might not like it, but the last battle at Winterfell, that was, you know, it made you feel really like this is the end. You know, we're up against the wall. And then with this, he made you feel like we're not getting out of King's Landing alive. There's no way Arya's getting out of there alive. So, I don't know. That's what I like about this director. I think he gets you really, this is what he's good at. This is what he's good at. This is why he filmed this episode. And I can see why it was chosen for this episode.
Really quick. So a lot of comparison between the Mountain's face and Darth Vader from Return of the Jedi when he takes off his mask. Just wanted to throw that out there. I've heard it around a few places. I don't know. Thoughts?
He kind of looked like Varys at first, and I was like, whoa, what?
Yeah. I felt the same thing, too. I'm like, Varys? No. And then you saw, like, the poison veins and stuff.
Also, when he, like, stabbed him in, like, his head, and, like, he didn't die, it was just like, what the fuck is this? But, you know, I'm not going to let that ruin the whole thing.
No, no, you didn't. It didn't ruin it, because the next move was literally him throwing himself off the wall.
Right,
so,
right, exactly.
You know, if it dragged on a little bit further, it'd be like, all right, well, this is getting a little out of hand.
Yeah. So, can we go back to Tyrion? What do you think of him breaking Jaime out of jail? Because it's almost such a bad idea that almost like Tyrion could be the only person to do it at this point because he like only has bad ideas. It's actually almost comical, like going back now, being like, well, that was a Tyrion idea. What the fuck did you expect?
Yeah, I could agree with you on that one. I don't know. I thought it was a nice little.
I mean, I love that. You know, story wise, like, you know, you could tell it was a goodbye to Jaime, you know, because.
Well, it was a goodbye to Tyrion because Tyrion thought he was going to die.
Right. Oh, so, yeah. But I think it was they're never going to see each other again.
Yeah, no, that was definitely the. Well, actually, that was the case because he would have went on a boat and went, right? Yeah.
So.
No, it was. I think it was great between the two. I don't know. I love Tyrion. I love Peter Dinklage as Tyrion. He does really well with it.
Yeah, that's got to be like some pressure point next week. I mean, I don't even know where you go from there after this episode, but like, I'm assuming that's gonna come up.
You know? Yeah, it's not a good. It's not gonna be a good situation for Tyrion.
I don't think she's like overflowing with patience right now either.
No, she's zero patience.
Ever. Yeah.
Zero patience.
So, all right. Well, let's talk about the big thing. The actual battle. Yeah, which, I mean, doesn't really turn out to be a battle so much. Which was cool because we already got the battle episode. Mm. I mean, this was like a disaster movie, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm glad that they didn't do a battle, like a big battle. I was not really, I don't want to say ready for another one, I just didn't want another one.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that Danny actually figured out what the fuck to do to avoid, you know, getting hit with arrows. So.
Right. I've heard people say that was a cop out. I really don't think that's a cop out. I'm not saying there aren't other cop outs. Like, that's definitely.
So how did she figure out not getting hit by arrows?
Start in the sun.
Oh, okay.
Blinding them all the shoot all the way down. Hang out at sea level, then shoot all the way back up, then back down again, because it takes time for them to raise and lower and turn
the scorpions. Yeah.
You know, so she did. I mean, she learned. She learned. Yeah. I'll give you that. But it's just, I don't want to say it was a cop out. It was quick. It was decisive. They needed to get rid of all of this, and she did it in one fell swoop. That's it.
Yeah.
So it was end of story. Move on.
It was with the golden whatever army thing.
Yeah, golden army.
Yeah,
just a bunch of pussies.
Yeah, they really were.
Yeah, but like I don't watch these. I just watch recaps. And the one thing that the recap
this would have been about, one to watch, by the way.
I maybe I don't know, but I know like his one big complaint was like with this army. It's like everybody talked them up. And they were dead in 5 seconds.
Well, that happens, dude.
I know, yeah. I know. It's just like...
They did take out all those wildlings. Well, they didn't even kill any wildlings. They just, like, encircled them. And it's like, oh, fuck it, we're done.
Yeah.
What was he going to say? You'd have to watch this episode to... A lot of this is going to feed into the next one. So I think the final episode is going to feed... literally off of every single thing that happened. Arya is going to have a major part because of what happened. Grey Worm is going to have a major part because of what happened, as is Jon Snow, Dany, and all the rest, you know?
Because really what happened is half the people remaining in the story have pretty much become like villains now.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dany and Grey Worm, they're on like the wrong side.
They crossed the line.
Right. I mean, I think that sets up the most interesting possible last episode.
There are too many scenarios right now to actually speculate what's going to happen. There are way too many at this point.
This is only an hour episode, too, right?
Yeah, it's only an hour.
Yeah, so.
I don't see, like, Jon Snow being like, oh, this was cool.
No, but I see him. He's the guy, type of guy to, you know, walk away, be like, "You just did this. We don't believe in this." But then you get Arya, who I feel was more emotionally hit because she was in all that stuff and she saw all those people dying. Where she's going to develop more of a, "Why are we going to let this person rule?"
Oh, she's going to. Baseless speculation. She's going to kill Daenerys, and it's going to be.
Remember multiple episodes throughout the whole series where Arya's like, I'm going to kill the queen.
Oh, hey,
she doesn't specifically say Cersei.
Yep.
Also, we got to get to Cersei too before we stop.
Yeah. Okay.
Can we talk about
Cersei, by the way, is acting exactly like she's a public official in Chernobyl, by the way. Just you could have put her and the guy with the funny voice like next to each other, and it would have been just like, there's nothing wrong with the walls that have been, you know, blown up by the dragons.
Yeah, where like, what's his face? Qyburn folds out a piece of paper and be like, here's the names of the people who Gates fell.
And he just throws up, and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Too much black fire for did you notice that, by the way? I don't know if I would call that an Easter egg, but all the like nightfire or what is it? What's the explosive stuff?
I think it's wildfire, right?
Wildfire. I keep calling it black fire. All the wildfire stored around the city that she mentioned like offhand last season.
Yeah.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, because. Oh yeah, that's right. It was all throughout the underground and stuff like that.
Right.
So Cersei's death. Can we get there?
Yes.
Yeah, sure, man.
This is the thing I'm most disappointed about. Only because you're building up. Somebody should have had that pleasure. Somebody should have had that pleasure. She got out easy. And you built her up to be this villain that everybody hated. Clearly everybody hated. and she dies basically in the arms of someone she loves and is also, it's reciprocated. I hate that. I hated it so much.
Yeah, but how, hang on though. I'm not going to sit here and be like, Cersei's a good character, but she was like the calmer head, like early on in the show. And then like a shitload of like really awful things had happened to her. Like, I'm not saying that's an excuse, but like, I wouldn't say she's like, not sympathetic, but like, I mean, she's been through a lot.
Yeah, but a lot of that is because of her own doing.
True.
So I don't get it. She started, I mean, she didn't start the war with everybody, but I mean, she tried to have Bran killed. She, you know, it had so much. I can't even rattle off the list because it's so long right now.
Well,
she's such an evil character. She's the I don't want to say she's a psychopath because she's, doesn't seem that. She seems a little bit more intelligent. So
no, she's nuts.
Yeah, but all right. Let's just play to put it at that. But either way, somebody should have had that honor to, you know, kill her. I mean, even sending her to Sansa.
Wasn't there a prophecy about her death?
Yeah. Well, I thought like Jaime was supposed to be there or something like that. So if like Jaime's going to be there, then like I don't want to be too fucked up because I like, again, like to a lesser extent with Jaime, sort of find him somewhat sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jaime more sympathetic about Jaime's story progression and how his character has developed throughout this whole series. I really did enjoy. I really do enjoy that.
Yeah. Other than when he's fighting Euron, it's like, what? I mean, okay. I mean, like, even just getting past the whole giant coincidence of him just showing up at that point in that place. I mean, like, this is the grand finale, so it's like I'm almost just rubber stamping that and saying, yep, okay, fine, believable.
Yeah, no, you had to give like a, you had to close that character's line there a little bit, you know?
Yeah, and like, I mean, Jaime killing Euron is like not the worst thing either. I mean, that was pretty good.
Yeah,
I found to some extent like just a lot of the criticism out there has just gotten like really like small and nitpicky and shit.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's at the point now where the wave has gone too far the other way. Like, I think people are just trying to, like, shit on the show because, like, they've accepted it's just awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm with you on that one. Hence the rating on IMDb.
Right. Yeah.
Like, there's been some questionable things, and I think there's just, you know, they had to just kind of rush through shit just because they sort of had to. But, like, I mean, like, come on, like, let's like chill out here. Well, like, you're gonna ruin the end of Game of Thrones because you're all pissy.
I feel like the one criticism that I feel like has merit for the show is that it seems like not just this season but last season both feel very rushed, and that the character development and the plot development that was used so well in the first six seasons, I feel like were just like tossed aside, and they were just like getting to plot points as fast as they could because they needed to. Whereas when this season, when they sat down and negotiated for season 7 and 8, it was these two guys that wanted it to be shortened seasons, not the full 10 episodes.
Well, that's
so it falls on them. Like the fact that they didn't want to do what made this show great.
To that point though, you're in kind of you're at the end of the series. If you're still doing character development, then there's something wrong.
Well, this whole season has been about Jaime's character development of like...
No, not this whole... No.
Not really.
Okay.
Not really.
How he like turned on his sister to fight with everybody else, and then in this episode he turned back. Of course it is. It's redemption of the character. That's character.
Yeah, it is. But the reason why it's so effective and you just switch the hat, like switch it at a whim, is because of the first 5 seasons. He's already developed. I mean, season 2, I think is, or season 3 or whatever, is him journeying with Brienne to King's Landing. That is how he flipped. That is why he flipped. Yeah. So it wasn't, you didn't need to develop, you didn't need to spend a whole episode trying to explain that. He already was being pushed in that direction. It's just, I think everybody's harping on it. Yes, it is rushed. But yes, the series needs to come to an end. Right. Yes, it is expensive. It's a good show, and they want to end it on a positive note. They don't want to drag it out like The Walking Dead, you know?
Well, the problem with The Walking Dead is there's no end in sight.
Well,
there was an end in sight.
Source material. Yeah. George R. R. Martin has no ending right now.
Well, he has an idea of how it's supposed to end.
Source material has no ending. He has ideas, but whether or not they're actually put to word into paper is unknown.
But he still knows how it's going to end. Like he told them.
Yeah, but there's like, when you have like a story this big though, like, even if you have the end point, like getting to the end point is like just as important. And I mean,
no, I know.
There's a lot to figure out. I mean, so as far as the whole, like, whose fault is it that they're rushed? Right. So I understand, you know, they've been doing it for, you know, probably the better part of like 10 years between developing. I mean, this is a show where, you know, they did the pilot, then they went and reshot the pilot because they wanted to do it right. So these guys have been involved for a super long time. I'm sure, you know, they have to film this in like three different countries. Like, that's going to be very hard and demanding. Like, I'm okay with like them stepping away. And, you know, I think if you give it to different people to run it, God only knows how that's going to be.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be disastrous.
It could be fine. I mean, Veep pretty much changed like showrunners like midway through. And that just ended last Sunday. Yeah. And, like, the last 2-3 seasons are a little bit different feel from the first couple.
Yeah.
But did she get elected, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah. On the flip side, too, Walking Dead after the second season changed hands. And, yeah. Like, the first 2 seasons were pretty good. After that, it was kind of downhill.
After the second season. Yeah, yeah.
So, because that's when they got rid of, was it Kirkman? He stepped aside and
he
stepped aside but it was who's the guy who did The Mist, the movie,
Frank Darabont.
Yeah, they got rid of Darabont, and Kirkman kind of like was like, well, he was my choice, and so he kind of stepped down, and now it's just a mess.
Yeah,
Kirkman still is very much involved with The Walking Dead.
Is he?
Yeah, he talked not to like the material and what's actually going on, but you know, he'll offer a bunch of input as to what he thinks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's his baby.
Well, yeah, I know, but the material is not his right now.
Right.
The divergence has been very much known.
Yeah.
But you know, whatever, the show has become bad now anyway. So
so bad. It's still a top 10 show.
Yeah, I know, which is
insane to think about.
But still, it's just funny.
Yeah.
No, but I think I'm not one of the complainers that think this season is way too rushed. Because I do want it to close, and I do want it to close well. And I don't think I'm going to get it, but what I want ideally is an after shot of, you know, 10 years down the road, what actually is going on.
Yeah, you're not getting that.
I don't think I'm going to get it. I think the end shot is going to be somebody sitting on the throne, and it's implied that that's the king or queen of the throne. I think that's what we're going to get, and I'm trying to mentally prepare myself for that because it's not what I want, but I think the reason why so many people are hating on this, like giving it a 6.8, I think, or 6.4 for the last episode, was because people have their views of how they want it to end, and it's not actually happening the way they want it.
Right.
So I think that's why, you know, the hate comes from. But it's just, you have to take it as it comes, and it's still a very good show. It still is. I mean, there's certain things I hate, like the Danny death thing. I think you built it up for so long that somebody should have had the glory to kill her.
You mean Cersei death?
Cersei, sorry. Should have had the glory to kill her.
Yeah, we should discuss this. Did you, Chris, find the whole thing with Dany believable, that she made the turn, and how, when it happened?
What do you mean made the turn?
Well, like the heel turn. Like, she, you know, decided to, like, you know, go on like full on Mad King.
So it's Missandei's death is what the turn, like the thing was. That's what it was.
Well, yeah, I guess to me, when I was, I should have been specific. You know, when the bells are ringing and she just says, like, fuck it, and just decides to go burn everything else.
Oh, that? I don't know what it was.
Because the show, point. I mean, the episode at that point is, like, completely different afterwards. Like, you know, it's... It becomes, like, a horror movie.
Yeah, it really does.
That episode, I mean, not really holding our cards anymore, I thought that was excellent. I thought that was, like... probably like top five, like all time for them.
Oh yeah, I thought it was pretty damn great.
And it's a 6.6 on game and like IMDb. I think all these people are just pissed off.
No, but the thing is, like, I Sam's not here to compare it to Star Wars fans, so I might as well. But like, people have been just as invested as you guys in this show, and yeah, they have their own opinions on how it is. And there are plenty, like, I wouldn't say plenty of people, but I would say close to 50% of fans are very upset with this season because it didn't go the way they wanted it to go. Which, I mean, that's not saying that, like, they should, you know, screw you, like, who cares about you. But, right. I mean, these people have stuck with the show and they're upset with the way it's going. And it like, as, you know, as a fan of Star Wars, that kind of happened to me with The Last Jedi, where, like, I sat there, I watched it, and I was like, this isn't how Star Wars is. This is, like, it's completely, like, different, and it just didn't feel like a Star Wars movie. So, yeah, I hated that movie because of, like, I felt like I was betrayed almost by that movie. And people feel the same way about Game of Thrones right now.
The thing that I would say is not the excuse, but the comparable between the two. It's not really, I don't want to say you can't really compare the two, only because there are a lot of things to dislike about the new Star Wars trilogy. It's particularly with how they, you know, close out the story arcs of the three main characters from the first trilogy. It's
no, yeah,
it's three funerals. The next one is going to be a funeral. We're going to have a funeral in the next movie. That's what's going to happen. And I think that's what Star Wars fans are not a fan of, is because they're actually closing out these people that they fell in love with. And I think that's why you're getting a lot of that. Hey, this one is because they don't know what's going to happen. They have an idea of what's going to happen. They want things to happen because everybody talks about this show so much. And then when they don't actually get it, that's why they're upset.
But you don't. So, but like, the thing is, one of the biggest complaints is the rushing. I know that you're fine with it, but there's a lot of people out there that are upset that things are rushed through.
And they're idiots.
I mean, don't know why. I don't know what they expect.
I'm just saying, like, this is how people feel.
We're aware.
The stories need to close.
My coworkers are the same way, John. People I work with, they are all upset with the show because it just feels like a completely different show than what they were used to for the first six seasons.
How do they expect to close out all those main character story arcs in our episode?
Look, I'm not them. Like, I can't channel them right now. I'm just saying how people actually feel right now.
You gotta ask them and be like, look, you have Tormund, Sam Tarly.
I'm not going to remember all that stuff.
And Gilly. It's the three main characters from the last episode that were all, like, closed out. We're not going to see them again. This is what's going to happen. How would you close them out?
Closed out some people this week, man, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, we got to, update it.
Anyway. Chris, I'm not saying they're upset with the deaths and stuff or, like, the closing. I'm just saying, like, they feel like this series has been rushed these last two seasons. And, I mean, you guys have both sat there and said, yes, it feels rushed, but you're okay with it. There's people who aren't, and that's all I'm saying.
I think they're just spoiled. Yeah. They want it to go on forever. I think that's just what it is. I think if you're really a fan of a good TV show, and if you're a fan of this, you're completely satisfied. If you're not, then you definitely should be. I really don't see any reason why people still need to hate on this show. It is a TV show, and you need to take it for what the producers and the writers are giving you. It's just what it is.
All right.
It is. It's not like they're going against the grain with the how the source material actually is, or how the previous, no. you know, a fire and blood series is going. It's just, I don't know. You gotta take it as is. It's a piece of cinema for these guys nowadays. It's a piece of cinema. This is what they're trying to do. They're trying to make you feel characters, particularly these five or six main characters. So, and who cares if they spend half an episode walking from Winterfell down to King's Landing, where in season one it took 5 episodes. It's just ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous.
All right. Well, that's
Chris's opinion. There's a sort of thing that just, like, you know, I think once a narrative starts to, like, get going, like, people just like to, like, shit on stuff. Especially stuff that's, like, so, like, built up as Game of Thrones.
Right.
Like, people have, like, no other ideas of, like, what to talk about that, like, you know, like, on the internet, like, Game of Thrones gets, like, so hyped up. When, like, in reality, like, I love this show, but it's, like, not, like, a top, like, it's not, like, an all-time great TV show. Like, it's pretty good, and it's a giant spectacle. But it's not, like, chill out. Like, I'm not even saying, like, like, there's fucking dragons on this show. Like, come on. Like, calm down.
No.
Mm. You didn't even touch your cake. Have some cake.
Yeah. Also, there are a bunch of deaths, like, good deaths this season. We need to rank them when the series is over.
Oh, boy. All right.
Some good ones.
Rank them, like, how?
Like, who's the best? Who was the best? Who was the worst?
Death. Yeah, what's the best death? All right,
best top three, bottom three kind of thing.
What's not even just a good, even before this season, like, what's a good death to you?
What's a good death to me?
Hodor?
Yeah.
Hodor is a good one.
Oh, yeah, Hodor is good. Any other one?
Hodor was a good one. God, what the hell is it? Oh, God, I forgot. I don't know, I'll think of it when I...
All right. What was a bad death? How about that? Would that be easier?
Well, that's what I'm trying to think. What's the bad one? Oh, and I can't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, like Rickon?
Yeah, that was a bad one. So, like, Ramsay was a good death.
Right. Ramsay, when he let the dog loose on his, like, stepmother and, like, their pregnant, her like, newly born son, that was kind of bad.
Yeah, it's just, like, a throwaway, you know? It's, there's a lot of good ones, but there's, like, some bad ones.
Anyway.
You know?
Well, let's talk about the only ones that count. The death pool. Where are we standing?
Or live pool or whatever.
Yeah.
All right. So there's actually a low. This is a low point.
Yeah.
Point week for us.
For some.
So no, it's a low point week for us.
For some.
So, Sean, you got 2 points.
How did I get 2?
You had Danny and Jon Snow.
And
Cersei died.
Yeah.
And Tormund is not in the episode.
I thought we picked 5 each.
4.
Oh, okay. See, that's why I was confused.
Sam actually had 0.
Oh, man.
Because the Hound died.
Who else did he have?
He had Sam Tarly, Theon, who already died, and Yara, who we haven't seen since the first episode.
Oh, man, he's doing... Jesus.
John, you have 2, actually. Arya and Davos.
Who else do I have?
Sansa and Gendry.
Ooh, not feeling great about Gendry.
Nope, not Gendry, but and I only had 1. Tyrion.
All right.
I didn't diversify. I have Brienne, Bronn, and Bran, who are pretty much all in Winterfell at this point. So.
Yeah.
So Jon, I think, is still in first, and Sean second, me third, and Sam is not doing well.
No, Sam's screwed.
Do you want to, guys? You want to? I think we should do, like, double points next week.
Oh, man.
We got to make it, like, competitive. Like, I'm kind of out in front, aren't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By how much? Not by much, though.
It's only by, like, 2 points. 5, 10, you got 18, John. Sean, you got
16, I think.
10, 15, you got 16. Yeah. Sam has 11. I have 15.
Yeah.
Let's do double points.
Double points? Okay.
All right, so we'll do double.
Double points.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine.
The end of the show.
Yeah.
How about if your character is the last on screen, you get plus 5. So, ooh, like, the
no,
last
screen no, like no, 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 no,
no. All right.
No. Oh, how about a half a point or something like that?
Yeah, I'd be okay. That'll be like a tiebreaker thing.
But if there's multiple people on screen, that still counts. Like, if we get, like last a group Jedi, shot.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, not Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, where it's like all of them there. Right. Well, yeah, no, I'm 100% on that. You get a half point for everyone.
Yep.
All right.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
And watch it be some, like, stupid thank you screenshot.
Last shot is going to be Giant Spain just walking through the snow.
Yeah, right.
And be like, yes, I win.
It's just Bran, like, starts, like, warging into a raven and, like, Don't Stop Believing starts to play. And it's like,
of course he does. You know, because what else does fucking Bran do?
So one more episode, guys. One more.
Yep.
And then we're it's done right. talking about that, this show till this
Chernobyl.
This
I'm glad spin-off. That Chernobyl is on afterwards, too. So.
Yeah, I'm enjoying Chernobyl, too. So really quickly to finish off our episode, we're going to go into, what are you watching now, I guess. So Chris, you can't stop talking about something, so you can go first.
Well, no, because it's just going to embarrass the shit out of me.
Oh, well.
So I haven't had a lot of time lately.
Excuses.
Well, you know, people travel and home alone with the kid and all that other stuff, so. So I started watching, aside from playoff hockey, The Paradise Hotel with Kristen Cavallari.
Nice, man.
Yeah, so it's been on only two episodes, but I think the first episode is like a double.
And, so it's like a 2-hour.
I don't know why, but I am 100% in on this one. Oh, that's embarrassing. And there goes my man card.
So you're watching Paradise Hotel?
Yep.
So
it's a Fox News show. It's very similar to
there's previous seasons of it. It's been around since 2003.
Then it's a redo.
No, it's the third season, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, is it?
I'm on their IMDb page right now.
I seem to remember it being, like, around a while ago.
Yeah. First episode, first season, 2003. Second season, 2008. And then newest season, 10 years later. Or 11 years later. So.
Oh, is it? Well, then either way.
So they basically keep bringing it back when they've run out of ideas.
All right. Then either way, I'm watching, I guess, season 3. How's that?
That's fine. No. I don't think it's a continuation story, I'm assuming.
It's just funny how there's like an IMDb rating.
Yeah. Actually, I believe all the episodes so far for this new season, no ratings.
No, except for season 2, episode 1.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. It's like one of those stupid guilty pleasure things, Hills or
yeah, that's fine.
Of which I did watch, and Laguna Beach also, which I did watch.
Like currently or just in your life?
No, I watched it in college when they were out.
Oh, okay.
Well, they were all in high school, right? And I was in college.
Yeah, that was they came out when we were in college.
Yeah, were you watching it with me?
No, God, no. All right. I know you watched The OC.
Oh, that was religious.
Yeah, I know. That was bad.
Yeah, didn't you show up to OC night?
I think I've been there. I didn't pay attention, but I was there a few times.
Yeah, it was me and, five other girls watching the OC?
Yeah. It was a bad show. So, moving on. John, what have you been watching?
Yes, everybody, I am married.
To a woman!
Well, I mean, that's just, I'm not a dweeb or a dork. Well, I am a dork, but I'm not a loser like that.
Oh, man. So, John, what have you been watching?
You know, part of what's made Sunday nights so difficult is that there's just a lot of shows on.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, in addition to Thrones, there's Billions, which I won't get into because it's even starting to get ridiculous. But Veep was very solid this season. Obviously, you know, you've either watched it or have it by now, but
right.
That's always great. But Barry continues to just be fucking amazing.
Is that still good? I've watched the first 15 minutes of every episode. And it seems okay.
Is it on after Thrones?
What do you mean, like, every...
Every week after Thrones, I pretty much watch the first 15 minutes and then leave.
And then just shut it off?
Well, yeah, I'm tired. I gotta go to bed.
Oh, okay. It's really good. And, like, the it's show just bad. Has, like, an incredible range because there's some, like, super funny shit, but then, like, also really, like, dramatic, like, oh my god, what's happening stuff going on. And there's just nothing else like it. It's really good. Yeah, highest of the recommendations.
All right, so Barry, Sundays after Game of Thrones.
Cool. Yeah, or, you know, on HBO Go. And it's, right. You know, it's half-hour episodes.
Oh, is it really?
Only, like, 8 in the first season, so, you know, you can kind of, like, zip through.
I feel like I might pick it up because I like half-hour comedies.
You'd like it, and it's, yeah. Like, a very... I wouldn't say it's entirely a dark comedy, but a lot of it's like a very, like, a dark comedy.
Yeah. It's nice too, 'cause it gives me another reason to use that app.
Yeah.
I
can't believe people are like
Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Yeah. No, that's a great show. I do like
that's 100% up your alley.
I've watched it.
There's another like podcast episode we could do at some point of like, how are there like 20 shows now that are like exactly the same thing like that?
Yeah.
And like somehow they all can exist and like every single late night show is now just like legit just political commentary. It's not even like, oh, well, there's like one side of the jokes more than the others. It's like, no, it's like legit like, you know, like just counter programming. It's weird. We're not going to get political though.
No.
This is a near podcast.
Please no. All right, my turn. So I've been watching Z Nation, which was a sci-fi TV show that lasted for 5 seasons. I'm almost done with the second season. Pretty solid show.
Was Z Nation? Oh no, iZombie was.
Okay. No, iZombie was CW. Z Nation was on the Sci-Fi Channel. It's actually
is that with the kid from The New Guy?
Yes, was it DJ Quails or whatever? He's a minor character in the show. But yeah, no, it just follows a group of survivors trying to get the only person known to survive a zombie bite to a laboratory in California, and it just follows their adventures around. George R. R. Martin's actually in an episode, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, zombie George R. R. Martin, actually. So he's in all zombie makeup. Because there's an episode where with a guy named The Collector, and he's collecting all zombie stuff. And he's got George R. R. Martin locked in a room. And he's just like, muscle memory makes him like sign books. So he still signs his books, but it's like scribble. And like there's a pen taped to his hand. And he's like all chained up. It's pretty funny.
You know what he's not writing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We all know what he's not writing. But yeah. Yeah. And
There was, by the way, going back to Game of Thrones for a second, there was a rumor this week that that he was holding out. Like he's written the 2 books already and he's just holding them until the series is done. And he's like, yeah, there's no way that would be true. Like, why would my publishers let me do that when, like, they would get, like, millions of dollars for the release of each?
Right. Right.
But with
my show, the Z Nation, I started watching it because Black Summer came on Netflix. And it's a decent show, like, zombie show. It's quick. I think it's like 8 episodes, but it's a very interesting way they filmed it. and like the storytelling, because it jumps around a lot between characters and groups, but it's a more serious prequel to Z Nation. Z Nation has a lot more comedy in it, but it's still, you know, zombie apocalypse. It's like, think of The Walking Dead if Walking Dead had a sense of humor. That's kind of like how I looked at it.
All right.
So, yeah. So, I guess that's what we've been watching.
Yeah, I found out where Sam is.
Oh, where is Sam? I was just going to ask.
I put a GPS drive on him, and uh-huh. It looks like he's in a sex dungeon in Amsterdam.
Ooh, wow. Sex dungeon in Amsterdam.
Coming out yeah. Firing.
Oh, man.
So he's alive. It's just... You know, he's getting his thing on.
Okay.
The best part is he doesn't listen to these episodes, so he has no idea that we know he's in a sex dungeon.
Yeah, no. Fact. So who knows where he's going to be next week?
Yeah. So yeah, if he's out next week, stay tuned to find out where Sam is. If not, we'll find out where Chris is.
yeah. Right. Well, where I'm buried, apparently.
Yeah. Apparently. Well, if you enjoy our episodes, you can find us on Podbean, Stitcher, and iTunes. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/KnightsOfNerditude. Send us a review, comment, let us know what you want us to talk about. And yeah, drop us a message, please. So that's it. We'll see you next time.